Tongues is a language, and we're going to find this out in just a minute, of prayer and worship and singing. It's not just prayer. It's prayer and worship. And it's heavenly, and it's beautiful. But when we put it in the category that tongues is weird, that tongues is odd, that tongues is something that's to be suspicious of, we take it out of the realm of beauty, don't we? We never go, wow, she's really beautiful, but she's a weirdo. Because when we say beautiful, it's like, it's the full pack, it's the whole thing. The way they talk, the way they live, the way they act, the way they are with people. And this language might be unknown to you as you speak it, and maybe if you haven't spoken it in a long time. I've talked to people over the last month about this, and there's some people, like myself. I received the gift of tongues, a spiritual language, about 14 years old, so 1976 in Medford, Oregon, just south of Grants Pass. It was a larger town, so sometimes we'd go there, and we went there and heard Leon Patillo. Leon Patillo was a piano player that had a grand piano in this church, and he was quite famous. He got radically saved in the Jesus movement, and he came around, and in that setting, just in the time of worship, I received tongues. And I think it changed my entire life and my entire mind and my entire heritage, because it gave me something beyond myself. When I would have gone into something intellectual or something I had to always figure out in logic, it helped me in that area. But yet, it might be unknown to you, but the person, the giver, is not unknown to you. That's the beauty of it. That's the coolness of it. And I want you to remember that. You might be unfamiliar with the things of the charismatic gifts of charisma. You might be unfamiliar with the things of spiritual giftings and stuff like that, but you're not unfamiliar with him. You might be unfamiliar with the prophetic, with gifts of healing, with words of wisdom, words of knowledge, but you're not unfamiliar with him speaking to you, him giving you wisdom, him giving you words of knowledge. You might not have put it that way, and you might not have eagerly desired them yet, but you know the one who gives them. So I want you to keep that in mind as we're talking, as you're going through the book of Acts, as you know the one who this book is about. All those mystical things, all those things that you think are weird, that you think don't fit, that you think aren't for today, you know the one, and he's the same today, and he wants to do a lot of different things. Last with this idea of the tongues is that the spiritual language is the capacity to pray beyond ourselves. How many of you would like to pray beyond yourself in a deeper, more powerful way, and to worship and to break through into something? And it's just a reminder for us that God is asking for the fullness of us and then an expression of him. Now, a lot of us would go out and we would serve people and we would do things, and we'd do that in Jesus' name, and there's other things that God has for us that's within us. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm just going to read a bit of this. I'm going to use 14 throughout these 3 points, but I'm just going to read these three verses, 13, 14, and 15, but I'm going to reference this. But this is something you might want to go back and read over and over and over, and some of the stuff seems to contradict itself in some areas, and it's a good place to have a discussion with somebody. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. And I want you to see a couple things here. And I've been praying this week that you'll see this. It says, if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. I have heard people use that scripture over and over and over. Your mind is unfruitful, you shouldn't pray in tongues. But it's not saying that at all. It doesn't say don't pray in tongues. It says do both. Praying in tongues, a spiritual language, doesn't eliminate the need for English or the need for Spanish or the need for Japanese. But speaking in English doesn't eliminate the need to speak in tongues. And it tells us in here, that it's way better to speak 5 words in English than it is to speak an hour or 2 or 5 or 10 hours in tongues when you're together, because 5 words of English can paint a different picture. So they have some of those qualifications in there. But in order to emphasize this, Paul goes on and says that he will pray with spirit and with understanding, that he will sing with his spirit and with understanding. God is a God not either or. God is a God of and so many times. But our preference wants just the mind or just in tongues. So we're just dependent on charismatic things or gifts of the Spirit, and we don't get our English words right. We don't get the communication right in front of people. We don't work on that. We go with some sloppy over here, but a lot of people, it's the opposite. So it's the power of and. It's both. It's both English and a spiritual language. And the beauty of your spiritual prayer language is that it enhances your prayer and your worship. Now, one little point in here. Now, when we read these scriptures, there's two different, I believe, and a lot of theologians believe this. I'm not a theologian, but I do believe that God is speaking, that Paul in here speaks about both about corporate tongues and ways to utilize that, but he's also speaking about a private prayer language. It's not both of the same. And so if you read through Corinthians, if you read through Acts, and there's incidences of people speaking in tongues when they're laid hands on or when they're worshiping, then I want you to think about that. There's a corporate gift of tongues, and then there's a personal prayer language. Today we're talking about that personal prayer language, all right? And speaking in tongues in a corporate setting requires an interpretation. That's a corporate gift, all right? And he talks about that in it. But right now we're talking about a grace. So there's a gift of tongues, but there's a grace of tongues, a spiritual language that's for us. And Paul implies, I believe, throughout 1 Corinthians that there's a spiritual prayer language for all of us to have. All right, so we've got that. Now look at this, verse 18 and 19. I know we didn't read that. But Paul says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than y'all. So if you quote almost all of the epistles, you're quoting a guy, a lot of your favorite verses, you're quoting a guy that says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than y'all. Think about that. That's amazing. We can quote all this over here, but we want to leave this part out of his life that's very important to this author, to this apostle. But he says, I'd rather speak intelligently in English. He doesn't say in English. I'd rather speak in a language people can understand when others are present. Again, he's not saying don't speak in tongues. He's saying that when others are present, speaking tongues isn't the right gift. You utilize the greater gift when you utilize the gift that's needed or the tool that's needed. Then he goes down in verse 39, and you'll have to read some of this. Now remember, this is Paul, the writer of a good portion of everything out of the Gospels, a great portion. Do not forbid to speak in tongues. Why would somebody go so far as say, don't forbid this? Don't forbid speaking in tongues. He doesn't say don't forbid prophesying. He doesn't say don't forbid these other spiritual gifts that are in here. Why tongues? I think part of it is that we like to regulate those things that are the messiest and most uncomfortable. So we would be prone to forbid and take off tongues as maybe a disruptive gift, as maybe a gift that's confusing, as maybe a gift that people can use to show off because they can speak in tongues loudly. So we want to regulate it and forbid that, all right? And it's the weirdness factor of don't forbid this messy part of what's happening. And by the way, they weren't being weird at Pentecost. We have this thing of them being weird at Pentecost, and they were speaking in an unknown language, and some thought they were drunk, but many others were fascinated because they could understand those different languages. They weren't just babbling because they were being stood by many unbelievers. Now, tongues can be disorderly, but it doesn't have to be. Tongues can be disorderly and disruptive, but it wasn't at Pentecost. Tongues, I don't just mean tongues when I say the prayer language of tongues or corporate use, but the things of the Spirit of God, the giftings, do not have to be weird. They do not have to be disruptive. They are subject to us as people. If you're a weird person and disruptive person and want to show off sort of person, then the spiritual gifts will be weird, show-offy, and disruptive. And damaging to people. But you're probably already damaging people without the spiritual gifts, all right? So it's scriptural, and don't let weird frighten you away from the things of God, okay? I believe in the fullness of the gifting of the Holy Spirit. You know, I say sometimes I want the whole enchilada of salvation. I want the whole enchilada of the Holy Spirit. I don't consider myself weird. You know, I can act weird sometimes, but I'm not a weird person when I communicate the kingdom. When people find out later, if I'm working with them or I'm around them, they find out later I'm a Christian or that I'm a pastor, they're sometimes surprised. I'm not weird. I'm a person, and I'm going to live my life out of my conversation. A lot of times I won't use, I'll use spiritual prayer language instead of tongues. I'll use, instead of the Holy Spirit, I'll say God's Spirit, because some people don't like the Holy Spirit or the presence of God instead. And I'll try to change my English language to help people come on in. It's been amazing over the last 10 years, probably since my mid-40s, that God's really helped me communicate less about what I want to say and what I want them to learn my vocabulary before they get God. It's been really, really helpful for me to say, what language are they speaking? What do they understand? And then bring them in through that. So you don't have to get weird. And weird can frighten us away from some pretty great stuff. So repeat after me, God doesn't want to make me weird. God doesn't want to make me weird, okay? So the first one, it's scriptural. The second one, it is beneficial. A personal prayer language is beneficial. In 1 Corinthians 4:4, Paul says, "He who speaks in tongues edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies benefits the church or edifies the church." Now, again, some take that to mean what? Oh, well, you shouldn't edify yourself. That's lifting yourself up, but you should lift up the church. And that's completely wrong. It's a both. You want to both edify the church and edify yourself. You want to do both. Some say don't speak in tongues because it's selfish. Others are just only do this because it's for the corporate body. But think about what this word edifies means. Build up, make strong, encourage, comfort. How many of you throughout your week would love to be built up, made strong, encouraged, or comforted? Anybody? Or is it just me that needs that? Some mornings I wake up, and before I even hit my feet, even hit the ground, I'm like, I wish somebody would make me strong and comfort me, encourage me. But does that, you know, we take this out of here. So in order to edify the church, you do one thing, but in order to edify yourself, you do another thing. Now, I can call on people, and I get edification from sitting in front of people and talking to them for an hour or two. That's an edification for me. That energizes me, especially people over time that I've known over the years. That energizes me. And in fact, I had somebody on Friday want to meet with me real quick for about 90 minutes or so. And this was their statement. They said, "I knew I had a lot coming up this next week, especially Monday and Tuesday, and I knew that I needed to get with you before that happened." Why? Because I can edify them. That's a good thing, right? But wouldn't it be awesome? And we all need that. We all need the edification of others, the building up, the strengthening of others. But wouldn't it be awesome if you had something in you where you could edify yourself, where you could build yourself up, where you could strengthen yourself in the Lord, where you could encourage yourself and comfort yourself? Well, good news is you have that within you. And it comes out in the expression of a spiritual prayer language. And I don't know why God did it that way. I don't know why God just doesn't speak out English out of our mouth and tell us what to say. And I think he does do that in certain times. He gives us and we speak those things out. But there's something else. There's something else that comes out that Paul says here goes beyond our mind. And it's a deepening thing. And it gives us comfort. I think that when my spirit begins to pray or sing in a spiritual language that I don't know, but he knows, something connects, and then my mind begins to connect with that, and my body begins to connect with that, and I am built up in that area. So why anybody would think it's bad to build up yourself, I don't know. But I want to encourage you to build up yourself, to build up yourself, to learn how to do that. And I'll tell you what. When you pray, do you build up yourself? Do you strengthen yourself? Absolutely. When you sit and meditate on the word of the Lord and you study, you build up yourself and edify yourself. And that's with your mind, and this is with your English. And there's another way right here, and it's called a spiritual prayer language. It'll allow you to build yourself up and to edify yourself and make yourself strong. But it also benefits you as a spiritual weapon or energy in your spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6 is known as the spiritual warfare chapter. And what do you put on Ephesians 6? The armor of God, right? We all want to put on the armor of God. And some of us, we've had classes about the armor of God and what everything means. And, you know, I've never done this, but, you know, they had this whole period of time where you put on every morning, "Well, I don't leave the house without declaring this and this and this." But we forget Ephesians 6, verse 18. We usually go to verse 17, Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." And pray in the Spirit. And pray in the Spirit. and pray in the Spirit, and pray in the Spirit. It doesn't say pray with intellect. I think we can connect these pretty safe, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So when you're geared up, you connect spiritually. So you've got some great imagery there of being, you've got some great imagery there of putting on the breastplate. There's shoes, there's all those things. But then what happens, you can get on that all that stuff and you feel heavy, don't you? You can feel heavy. But I think what happens is it's like you could blow yourself up and you get like these big biceps and you get this big pec muscles and you just, I think that's what speaking in tongues does. That language, that prayer language, that spirit to spirit, it lifts you, it fills you, and then you actually fit into your armor and you can engage in warfare in a different way, beyond your intellect, beyond your emotions, beyond your experience, beyond that stuff, because there's something different and fresh that's pushing you. So it's beneficial. You build yourself up. It's a spiritual weapon. And then it keeps us in God's love. And this was like super cool for me to read this out of Jude. And I'm going to read the whole thing. Verse 17 to verse 21, but mostly it's 20 and 21. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up, by edifying yourself in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. What does praying in the Spirit do? It keeps us in His love. How many want to be kept in His love? I do. So about half of us. How many want to stay away from following our own desires? I want to. When you're a young Christian, you think there's going to be a day where my desires don't take a hold of me. Then you hit your 30s, there's going to be a day when my desires don't take a hold of me. Then you hit your 40s, and there's going to be a day when I'm as old as so-and-so, I'll have it together. When I can preach like them, I'll have it together. But our desires are always, our flesh is always seeking to take hold of us. And tongues fortifies us against that and is an offensive weapon that drives that away. So it keeps us in His love, away from following our own desires, and it even keeps us away from religious desires. For us to have the right doctrine, for us to shape everything and criticize everybody and judge everybody for not having the right stuff, all right? So point number one was it's scriptural. Point number two, it's beneficial. Point number three, it's a choice. So one, it's scriptural. Two, it's beneficial. Three, it's a choice. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 14, 13, 14, and 15. And then I'm going to close. This is a short point. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding or with my mind or my thoughts. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. If implies choice. Are you going to the party? Well, if I go implies that I may be able to do it, that I may do it. So we have if in here. But will, I will pray, implies choice. I will pray with my spirit. I will pray with my understanding. I implies that I'll only pray. I choose to pray with my understanding, right? So I can choose to pray with my spirit, right? You don't pray with your, God doesn't just zap you and you start praying in English, you start praying with your understanding, do you? You just don't start quoting. No, you choose to pray with your understanding. You choose to pray or sing and worship with your understanding. We can choose to pray and to worship with the spiritual prayer language. So it's this will, so if implies choice, and will implies choice and ability. If I go, I will bring this. I will do this. If I go, I will do this. So we have choice, we have the ability, to do certain things. And again, I talked to several people over the last month, and it seems like most of the people who have a spiritual prayer language receive that prayer language when they're under 22 or 23. Most, it's a teenager's. I find that very interesting. I think there's a lot of barrier when you get older to receive something that you didn't get 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. But I want to tell you, you have a choice as to what you receive, and you have a choice as to what you ask for. You have a choice to operate in your spiritual gifts. If you have a spiritual gift of teaching, you have a choice. If I teach, I will teach on this. God never jumps in you, makes you grab a podium, and run into a church and preach. It's a gift of teaching. If there's a gift of a spiritual prayer language, he's not going to do that to you. He offers gifts, and he gives you those gifts. You know, God's never forced somebody that has a gift of givings in Scripture. No, God's never forced anybody to get into their wife's purse and pull out the checkbook and write a Hubert's big, large check and put it in the offering, and oh, I just couldn't help it. God forced me to do it. I wouldn't have done it except God made me. God didn't make you. You had a will. You did it. You chose it. So we engage with the things of the Holy Spirit. So what's standing in your way of asking God for a spiritual prayer language? I don't know what it is. I don't know what the barriers are. So that's what I want us to do. I want you to close your heads. Keep your heads open. keep your minds and your spirit open. I have said that multiple times. Close your heads. Keep your heads open, your hearts open, bow your heads. You know, in Romans 8, it says, we often don't know how we ought to pray. I'm telling you what, with a spiritual prayer language, you will always know how to speak to God. You'll always be able to release your tongue into the right direction, and your mind will follow your tongue. And your day will change, things will shift as you speak in that language. Now, there's two groups of people here that I was thinking about preparing for this message. And some of us have a real problem saying the wrong thing at the wrong time or with the wrong attitude, or to be teachy or to be preachy or to be judgmental. Why not yield your tongue to the Holy Spirit every morning before every meeting and see if that helps? Why not ask God to give you something deeply spiritual? There's another group in here who have a real problem being afraid to say anything. They hold their tongue all the time, which, by the way, is just as unloving and unkind as saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. To withhold your gift of who you are, to withhold your gift of how you speak and what God's given you, is a problem. Why not yield your tongue to the Holy Spirit every morning, every evening before you go to bed, and see what God does? Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to say, it's by faith. And so, as I spoke to people, people received a bunch of different ways. Laying on of hands, just going to bed at night, waking up in the morning, in a worship service. But I want you, this week, if you will, every morning, every evening, is to ask God about the spiritual language. To get in, to believe in the Spirit of God and the gifts of God, and to trust God. And we broke the strongholds of doctrine, of preference, of experience. And hopefully that broke the stronghold of sounding foolish. It broke the stronghold of the fear of man. It broke the stronghold of a closeness or hardness against the Spirit of God. So Paul says, I wish all of you would speak in tongues. And as your pastor, I'm saying I wish all of you would speak in tongues. So I'm just going to ask you to ask God about this message. Maybe you listen to this message again, but ask God about your spiritual prayer language for you, so you can pray in the Spirit, so you can sing in the Spirit, so you can fight in the Spirit, so you can be lifted up and edified in the Spirit. I'm going to ask you to do that. this week. I'm going to ask you to let me know. And, you know, some of you have had experiences of speaking in tongues and you've stopped. I did from about 14 in my mid-20s, I just stopped speaking in tongues. And when I restarted, it was like trying to learn Spanish all over again. It was fascinating to me now later on. But I want to encourage you to be speaking in your prayer language, to be praying in your prayer language, to be singing and worshiping in your prayer language. So I want you to ask, you know, we have on the back of the bulletin, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message this morning? I want you to ask God that, not just this morning, but we are going to ask that, but each morning, each evening, just sit and ask God, what are you speaking to me, Holy Spirit, through this message? So, Father God, we just thank you for your gifts. We know that you are a good giver, that you give your kids amazing things. And when we ask for your gifts and we ask for good things, you're going to give us those good things. So we go with expectation. We go with expectation that we will receive from you. We go with expectation that we're going to receive things from you that are good. We go forward without any fear, without any doubt, just with an eagerness and a curiosity and a hunger to have all of you, the deepening, the strengthening, the ever increasing relationship with you. We thank you for that. As for your blessing upon our families, upon our lives, upon our finances, upon our jobs, upon our marriages, our children, and our health, and our mental wellness, Father God, we ask your blessing, your peace, your happiness upon all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to remind you that there is prayer this morning. If you want prayer, you can just come down here. You can ask somebody for prayer.